You guys can see my screen okay?
Yeah, all good.
Okay, perfect. So this is the agenda for today. So we're just going to go through the software status as usual, and then we're going to discuss this bug that Dom is working on. We'd like to clarify some things with Ehela. And then Rahul had a question in relation to this user story he's working on for pass-through operational and which method he should use from this from the wiki pages. Would anyone like to add anything to this, or is this okay? Okay, perfect. So we'll start with the backlog. So right now we have two bugs raised on this, both from the network splicing team. And this was raised on us yesterday, so I will start to look into this. Dylan, would you like to give an update on this?
Yeah, so essentially there is logic now in which persists the attributes or the kind of trying to think of what the data is called again in this case. Could you scroll down a bit, Niamh, just to the request body in that bug? Yeah, the config data, that's it. So we do essentially have logic now which does persist config data to the attributes, but I know that I don't know if Adhila is in this call, but I know that Adhila still had issues with it. I think it was that it's not being like, so while it looks in the XPath that it's being saved as a child node of the SNSSAI attribute, it's not actually being saved as a child node under that if you look at the parent ID. So it's actually being saved under whatever the XPath being defined within that API is. So I think that's what the issue Adhila was having with it. Now, I was kind of looking into it this morning. Like, I took a step back from what from the updated delete CM handles to see if this could be developed in this way using this API and using this persistence method. And the more I look into it, the more I think it is possible, but it shouldn't take too long. I'm hoping I can have another patch for this in by the end of the day. But I just kind of wanted, you know, confirmation from Adhila that that was definitely the problem as well before I do try implement fixing it. Like I said, I'm kind of looking into it now and seeing if it can be done. What I've seen so far, it looks like it is possible, and hopefully I can have something in by the end of today and can show Adhila and ask, is this okay then?
Yeah, we'll take that more after this. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you. Aditya is off today, but she's been working on creating the stage releases for Istanbul and implementing the OM charts for deploying temporal service. Bruno is also on annual leave. He's just working on a spike in relation to the CPS event for schemas. Dylan, would you like to give your update on your other tasks?
Yeah, so I probably should put the remove CM handle in progress as well, because I'm kind of working on both in conjunction. So we had a productive call yesterday, me, you and Raul, just to kind of iron out the issues on that, and if essentially it's all part of the one request. In the same way we create CM handles, so we pass in update and remove as part of the same request body, or we receive that, I should say, from the client, and then we, based on what we're either creating, updating, or deleting, we essentially do that. So yeah, I'm still in the process of implementing the update. Like I said, I kind of took a step back from it this morning just to look at the bug again and the issue with that. Yeah, I'm kind of making steady progress on this, so I think it should, you know, it should be straightforward enough now that we kind of have the main logic around create, and we already have the API or the methods existing for update. And I know that Luke's doing one for delete as well, so I could hopefully leverage that once that's committed as well.
Okay, thank you. Joe?
Yeah, good afternoon. Continuing on with this story, making a little bit more progress. So just setting up some local environment just to test what I have so far for the HTTP calls to the DMI plugin. Yeah, I think Shiva was in contact with me as well, offering some assistance. So, yeah, I might take him up on that offer later on when I have a bit more. But yeah, I think it's going okay so far. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Luke?
Yeah, hi. So I'm just about to push up another patch for the delete list node content with the functionality that we discussed yesterday in the Scrum. So yeah, that's and then hopefully that should be wrapped up, and I'm going to start looking at the REST layer today. So that's it for me. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. For myself, I've been working on just making this code review change to transform the module information into a format for NCMP. So it's just reading the information from SGNC and just transforming it into a schema format for NCMP. I'll actually put this in progress because I have a patch for that up in the code review. Apart from that, this task is just one of the entry milestone tasks. So I've just been making some progress on them too. That's all. Rahul is not on the line, but he is working on retrieving data for fast true operational. So he has two tasks here. One's for NCMP and the other one's for DMI plugin. This one's for retrieving data for pass-through running. And in this task, it's both DMI plugin and NCMP. And he has, I think, code reviews up for one of them. We'll take a look at that in a minute. Renu is not here. So yeah, she's just working on this controller layer query for the REST API. I could share the review up for that too. Shiva, would you like to give your update?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we're still working on 5.08, and I pushed up a change yesterday after kind of doing up implementation proposal and stuff the day before. So the change is up now, and I guess I'm just waiting for people to review it and stuff. And while that's kind of up there, I can help around as well. So as Joe was mentioning earlier, I've offered him like to kind of help him as well. So yeah. That's it for me.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so here is what's in progress right now. So yeah, I already mentioned I have this patch up. Rahul has implemented pass-through operational for DMI patch. We're also reviewing Naranjan's change to support edit query. So that has 2+1s, I think. So if people could take a better look at that, that would be great. Shiva, I have taken a look at this, his change to create the anchor or schema set for new modules and existing modules. And these two are work in progress. So we've already mentioned he's doing the delete list node. So this is just for service and persistence layer, but he will push up the patch today for the REST part. And this is the bug, a patch for the bug that Dylan's been working on. So this is what we've completed this week. Just to note, these were duplicate tasks. So created by David McBride. So we just closed them all. So just ignore these ones. So yeah, I closed one of the bugs that was raised on us by Ahila. Apart from that, she even made the change to list all modules and revisions for the Java API. We got in retrieve Yang resources for one or more modules. So that's in the DMI plugin. And Rahul made the change to retrieve list of Yang modules. And Dylan, another change for DMI registration for the NCMP side. And also Rahul has added the hidden side door on DMI plugin. So here is the quality gate for CPS. Right now we have a good few code smells, but we will address them. And coverage still looks good. For CPS temporal, yeah, everything looks great here, no code smells. NCMP DMI plugin, we're still working on coverage for that, and we have some code smells, so we'll address them. CPS, TBDMT, I think these security hotspots might be new, pushed in from the latest patch because we merged the change recently. I'll contact them on this, but yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's all for software status. Dylan, would you like to discuss your question for Ahoa? Do you want to share screen or?
Yeah, I can share my screen.
Quickly. I might have to give you permission. I'm not sure.
Tell me when I have permission there.
I'm not sure if I can allow you to.
Okay.
Michael, would you be able to give Dylan permission to share his screen?
Sorry, I wasn't listening there. To give permission to who, did you say, sorry?
To Dylan, please.
Dylan, okay. Yeah, Dylan should be co-host now, so.
Thank you.
Just looking for the option. Yeah, I see you here. Cool. So, screen here. And share. Okay, so this is kind of a mess. There's not too much I wanted to show other than this kind of tab here in the database, and just kind of show what's being persisted and how it's being persisted right now. So, and I can show the request body that's being persisted to. Wrong one. So I'm just looking for the correct Swagger page here. Bear with me for 2 seconds. Yep, got it. So, because I'm just running this locally as well, I kind of have a different code base right now, but essentially this is kind of how we're persisting it at the moment, is we're using this API here. It's just a list node API, which the purpose of this API is to add a list node child element under the existing parent node. So you just kind of provide parameters of the data space, which the node belongs to, the anchor name, and then the expat of the node that you want to save this child under. So in this case, we are setting up a node for this SNSSAI list. And here we have, I presume, what is an ID for this, and then the status. Then we have whatever configuration data comes with this SNSSAI list. And so before, what the issue was is that anything that was being attributed or put under this config data attribute was essentially not being persisted to the database because of the way the logic was set up in CPS core, and it was just persisting the data node of this ID and the status. So what we do is, when we pass in an expat, in this case we were kind of passing in the expat of the node we want to save under, which is this info list, and then these two attributes here. These are just two ones I got from our local database, and this is how it saves it. Now there's a few examples in here, but they're all kind of similar. So you can see here we have our expats that were saving the list kind of ID under here, under this data node of SNSSAI list. And then that's saved under the expats there, and we can see our attributes are in here, and we can see the status is active. And then we can see the parent ID. And then we were essentially also saving the config data as part of the same request. And we can see here now that we have our config parameters here, and then we have our attributes associated with now this config data node, which is a child of the list here that's being persisted. And then the attributes there, but we can see here that the parent ID is 284. Now there is a reason for that, and I can explain why it is, why it's 2884 for both this node and even these ones here, because even though these are child attributes of this list. So that was kind of my question was, are we expecting, seeing as these are childs of this node, should these parent IDs be, in this case, the way this is 284, should that be the ID of this node here, which is 289, which, you know, that's kind of my main question. But then I was also wondering, just let me get the ID here real quick. I think it was 284. Like, I just want to say as well why it's saving it under 284. Is because this is the expat or the node that we are saving this request under, if you, as you can see here. So that's kind of where my confusion is coming from, because the whole purpose of this API was to add child elements under an existing parent node, and this is the parent node we specified here in the expat to save these under, and that's why it's saving it under the ID of 284 for everything, because that's what we defined as part of our API parameters, is we're saying, okay, we're going to save this under this node on this expat, which is ID 284. So even though these are technically children of this data node, it's still saving them under 284 because that's what was specified as part of this API, and this is how this API has been developed and just how it's always been working. Now, I was looking into ways of changing it so we could so we could set the parent ID to be the node defined here, but I don't know. My main question is that what we want to do? Because that's just the way this API has always been set up, is to save whatever is being requested or being passed through this request body here under the expat node defined here. So this is always going to be a child of this expat, if that makes sense. That's why I was kind of reluctant to put in a change without asking that question first.
Is there a separate API to add a child node?
I'm not sure. Does anyone else know that? Like I said, I haven't been working on this too long. I'm not familiar with every API, but I don't think so. I think this is the only one to add. I think this is the one to add a child node under an existing parent node. But because, like, this config data is technically a child node of this SSNAI list and this ID, it's like that's kind of where my confusion is coming from. Like, because the way CPS is set up, this detects config data as a child node of this leaf here, essentially, if that makes sense. And then it persists it as a child node of this. Well, it wasn't doing that before, that was the bug, but I have added in logic to persist this as well. But like the issue now is, the issue now is that it's not saying that this is persistent as a child node of this, it's saying it's a child node of this node, if that makes sense.
Too many this is, I've lost.
Yeah, sorry. I think it should maintain, so like it should maintain the structure. So config data should be a child of SNSSAI, and that should be a child of the SNSSAI list.
Mm-hmm.
That will be under the XPath you've given.
Yeah, exactly.
It needs to be able to maintain the relationship. Is it doing that now, or?
No, it's not doing it now, because there was no logic before to even persist child nodes.
So when you read the information out, are you able to reconstruct that structure? Or does the config data appear as a child of the NSSAI list because its parent is 284 now?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what the confusing part is that just the way CPS Core has its logic set up at the moment, this is detected as a child node of this list. But when it gets actually persisted, it gets persisted as a child node of this expat, because that's kind of what the purpose of this API was. We weren't even persisting any kind of child nodes of anything that was going into this body. So in this case, it would have been the list. We weren't persisting this child node here before.
Which is why I was asking if there was a way to add if there was a different method for adding a node. But if you only have the one method, mm-hmm. and that method needs to be able to cater for both nodes and flat attributes, then you don't really have much choice. And if you need to be able to read back the structure in the way that the structure was put in, so you need to be able to reflect accurately what was put in, then you don't have any real choice. You have to either handle it in this method, or you need to add a separate method to add a node object to that list. And that would be, from a usability perspective, questionable.
Yeah, I'm thinking kind of that's why I was looking into if it could be done, and I think it can, and I could have something implemented by the end of today, add this as a child of this as opposed to a child of the expat defined. And I think it would make sense to do it maybe as part of this API now, just to kind of fix this bug. But I think for future reference, we probably would want a separate API for this, I'd imagine.
And how many levels do you want to support?
Good question. At the moment, I think that I'm actually not sure if we add another. Actually, no, I'm pretty sure I am actually. So I think if we add another, maybe not for config there. So if we add two lists here, I think it would support both of those lists fine. But if we then define another list within config data itself, I don't know how that would be supported. I don't think it would be supported, but I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, because you'd have to have some kind of recursive check going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you probably need to write down the behavior on this one, because I'd say it was missed in the grooming, that there was an assumption that this was a flat list of attributes.
Yeah.
And now maybe it's doable, maybe it's very doable, but it is worth doing a little bit of thinking about it and make sure, because if someone's going to provide a hierarchy in this request, a hierarchy of nodes or a tree of nodes and their attributes, I think
that's what I was thinking. Like, the only way this could work right now, in the way I'd imagine it's supposed to, is if we, let's just say, took out this list of config data. That's probably not right, but persisted something like this under this path, and then
the new node path to the list. Yeah.
Yeah, and then create a separate request where then we put in the expat for, where we put in the expat for this, like
that. Horrible UX.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the only way it could probably work completely right now. But like I said, I could add logic, kind of the, I can't even control Z just now, but I could add logic to, add config data as a child node of this. And I said, have it set up in the database so that it reads as a child node under the parent ID too. But once we go beyond that, I don't know how we can add too much recursion to it. Like, I think obviously it could be done, but I think it's another separate task as opposed to just fixing a bug, if you know what I mean. I think
exactly that's exactly the point that I'm trying to get at, that you need to certainly put a limitation on this, and you need to make a call. Either it's just a list of leaf lists that aren't nodes, or we're going to be capable of doing a tree, but right now we're only capable of doing a tree of one level,
mm-hmm.
or two levels, depending on where you start your count. But you need to document that in this API one way or another. And from a usability perspective, I suspect being able to take this document with multiple levels in it is probably the way we want to go. Ahila, I think, is on the line. Is that how you understood? Obviously, you created this request, so you expect that to work.
Yeah, I had only for now, if we see the Young model, we have this hierarchy. I mean, under SNS SA list, we'll have config data. So only to this depth, I mean, we don't have further child nodes. We to this level, if it is implemented, then that holds good for us.
But you were expecting that this create operation, this post operation was going to create both. It was my short question. I think you answered it.
Can you open the link I sent in the chat?
Yeah, you sent a link in the chat. Yeah, I'll have a look now. Where's my Zoom gone? Where are we looking?
Read the docs.
The limitation, it's update data node leaves API does not support updating a list element. Go back.
Oh, sorry.
You see under known limitations issues, it's just there. The last one there, I'm not sure if that applies to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This does actually look kind of similar to the reproduction steps that Attila had in her bug.
Actually, this is patch.
This is patch, I think, is the one.
What's the other one?
Here. No, this is patch as well.
Okay, maybe this is different.
Yeah, I think this is slightly different. It kind of follows the same thing, but instead of creating a new leaf, this is just updating an existing one. But yeah. So I'm not because obviously I haven't worked in this API before, so I'm not sure who developed this, or if this was a known issue back then, or if it was intentionally developed this way. But I can kind of look back into it and see if there's any documentation existing on the development of this API as well.
I'm afraid I can't recall either. I would have been listening at the time, but I can't quite recall it. So apologies for that.
I can put in a potential fix then, just to kind of get kind of two layers when it comes to, so we have a parent node and then we have a child node. Now, yeah, when it comes to a grandchild node or anything below that, you were saying, we would have to set up probably a separate task for that and document it. But I think for the sake of this bug fix and the way the Young model for this bug is kind of working, I think the two layers, the parent and child, is fine right now. But yeah, it's definitely something I think we'd have to bring up again in the future.
So we're agreeing to just support two layers.
Well, that's my opinion. I'm still all new to this, so if anyone else doesn't agree with that, please let me know.
Well, that's what I was asking earlier. Is there a separate API to allow you to construct this? So if you put in the request as is on the screen now, and then came back with a subsequent request to create an element of that list that is a node,
Is there
a method that allows you to insert an element to a list that is a node?
I don't think so. You might know more than me, Niamh, but I don't think so. I think this is essentially it.
Maybe
you have to do it each time.
Can you open IntelliJ and maybe we'll just Mm-hmm. Have a quick look.
I was able to add an item to the list. Was that your question, Tony?
Yes.
Yeah. Suppose if you take this SNSSA list, there was an SNSSA already. I tried to add one more SNSSA. I was able to add with this API itself. Yeah. This list node API supported adding an item to the list, but the child is missing in the when we add a new to the list.
Okay. So it was still broken even then. Mm. And that was with this API, you said, as well?
Yes. Yeah, I use this API.
Okay, so the same API.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't a different one.
No.
Okay. I guess... I can't think of anything that would stop you doing it. I've forgotten who was talking.
Me. It was Dylan.
Dylan. There you go. I'm looking at it. It even tells me at the top you're viewing Dylan Byrne's screen. because, you know, it's a thin end of the rope. And I do seem to recall that we don't really want to take in huge documents.
Yeah, maybe originally it was just to add one layer.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah, what I'm thinking.
Because otherwise you have to, you know, when you go to the recursive, you have to look at each one and see what they are before you can do the whole thing. There's a little bit more implementation in it than to do that recursively. But as you say, you think you have an implementation here that can do this relatively painlessly.
Yeah, I think that would just be for the initial parent node, and then in this case it would be config data, which would be a child node of this list, and that would just do it for those two, and it would persist both of them and save the config data as a child of this within the DB. Like I said, if we then, let's just say, went another layer deeper and said, oh, config data also has another child node in that, and that's another list of, you know, whatever. I don't think the logic or the implementation I have was for that. It's just to recursively go through this first list that's provided and then persist that. I would imagine it's doable, but
thought. Yeah,
I don't know if you just want it done for this bug, because I think this bug fix, we just kind of focus on the bug and fix that, and then definitely come back to this. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I think Ahil is, I mean, this is correct. It looks like it seems totally reasonable then. This is what this API will do. And given that if you create the object in the list, it doesn't work correctly anyway. So that's still a bug on this API. And there's no other way to do it. So then I would say, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks a million, guys. This is definitely cleared up. And
well, I think Tuan might beat me up afterwards if I said something wrong. But...
Yeah, I was thinking it's a shame Tuan Vahiri probably would know in the first minute of this conversation what to
exactly do. And we have to step up when Tuan's not around, so be brave. Make a decision. Go with it. But document that it's only one level.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's all I have to really share, guys. If there's anything else to discuss on this, let me know, or I can stop sharing and we can move on.
Yeah, I'll take over. There's just one question we need to look at.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'll stop sharing here now.
Can you guys see the correct screen with the software status and the agenda for today?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, so Rahul just had a question in relation to the story he's working on. So here is the story, CPS 487, retrieve data from CM handle using pass-through operational. So I'll get the mail up here. He just wanted me to discuss this in this meeting. So it was just for Oscar, but Oscar's not here, but he was just asking, so when writing the code to fetch the data using operational pass-through, on DMI, this is a put request type to fetch data. I'm not sure what REST method I write in NCMP to do this. So if I open the wiki page, I think he's just asking for an example. Okay, so I think Oscar has just replied with using the same one that's on the DMI root page, DMI page, but changing to it to NCMP root. Okay, so I guess if anyone has any questions about this, I could try and answer them, but I'll update this page to contain examples of from the NCMP endpoint. But I think it's just, as Oscar said, using the same format. Okay. Would anyone like to add anything else? If not, we can just close this meeting.
Okay, Neef, I have a doubt to check with you, like kind of feasibility of an API. Can I get an access to share the screen?
Sure, Michael, can you give Ehila access, please?
Sorry, who do you want to give access to?
Ehila, please.
Ehila, okay, sure. Yeah, you should have access there now, Ehila.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, is my screen is visible to everyone?
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe just look at the CP alone. If like okay, this is using the text of method. So you just look at this CP alone. For this API, we are able to get the proper response. But my question is like this run NF NSSI, right? So this single NF NSSI can span across multiple anchors. So, but in the API endpoint, like we are querying for one anchor for this NF NSSI, right? Like, do we have any option like across multiple anchors? I mean, filtering by this NSSA for multiple anchors, like it should return a list, something kind of feasibility. But now how I do is, like, I have to get all the anchors and I have to iterate the anchors. For each anchor, I'll check whether this run NF NSSA is configured, something like that. I have to do multiple iterations. So do we have any single API that checks this run NF NSSA across multiple anchors?
No, we actually don't. You need to specify, it's only per anchor queries, okay. Unfortunately, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to check this alone. Thank you.
Hello, this is Shankar.
Yeah.
Hi. I just wanted to, just one comment and one question. The comment is not directly related to CPS, but there is a discussion happening about what is the right format for the CM notify message coming over onto the West Collector. And I sent some email around Tony and Tuan, I think I CC'd you.
Yeah, saw that.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm glad the discussion is happening because we might as well pick something common for different use cases. But I just wanted to point out that one of the implementations that Pavel was talking about, he said we just want to receive the message and log it in SDNR. And I said that's fine. And use cases like SON and slicing would need to take that and update CPS because all modules need to be aware. And so just an FYI, I think it's. I think from a CPS perspective, it should not matter exactly the details of that REST message as long as there's consensus and somebody can parse it, some entity can parse it.
Well, from a CPS perspective, if we want to update any part of the data that is stored, then we need to be given a complete YANG data structure.
Yes.
That's compliant with the node. So to my mind, if we're trying to standardize what's coming out of the VES event for a CM change notification or a CM notification, then the payload should include that YANG data. And then it would make life very easy for SDNR or any other component that is unpacking the VES event.
Right.
You're right. From an NCMP perspective, we don't care about the VES event directly, but indirectly, of course, we do because we're part.
Yeah. I absolutely agree, Tony. And Martin raised the same point, which is how is it going to align to the YANG model? And the details would be, can we just refer to some standard mapping or are all the details always in every message? At this point, I don't know.
Well, they wouldn't be because you're going to need information from the header at least to understand what device is emitting the VES event.
Yes.
So we need to somehow be able to translate that into a CM handle.
Yes.
Because the CM handle is the thing that we use to identify an entity in the network that is defined by a set of YANG modules. So we need something that's translatable to a CM handle, and we need the path to, so it's not sufficient to just put the YANG data in there. We must also have the path to the YANG data. Because the YANG data. Yeah. Go ahead, Shankar.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree, and this is very useful. So does that mean the message format itself? I hope there are flexible extensions where you literally identify this is the entity and this is the path. And if it's not already there, then you need to add some kind of a property to specify that.
Typically we'd do some kind of a merge, I expect. So if it's not there, we'll create it. If it is there, then we'll clobber what's there. You know, we'd have a policy for that.
True.
If it's depending, of course, on and this is a long time down in the future, whether the ONAP CPS is considered the master, or whether the network device is considered the master of the data. So there'd be some contention there, some configurability right. there.
Right. But in either case, then there is a need to know the mapping, because SDNR will have to somehow, some entity in ONAP will have to take that information, update something, and then SDNR would need to know, oh, I'm configuring this. Yeah. So, if the O1 information model, it's a Yang model for configuration.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have some mapping, and someone, if it's all well specified and streamlined, that makes life easier. Otherwise, there is some other.
Absolutely. I mean, I can see that the VES event will come in from, let's say, an IP address. It probably has some source information in it that identifies the mm-hmm. the device. That should be listable or queryable in ANAI. So we should then be able to translate that into a CM handle, because I believe we're using, and Rahul's not here, unfortunately, but I believe we're using identifiers that are available in ANAI for the device that we associate the models to. And then we need the path. So if it's an object that's deeply nested in the object tree in the device model, and mm-hmm. then we need a path to that. And then, of course, you have the payload, which is the actual node, the attributes, and whatnot.
Right. Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah. Something, so, it could be SDNR, it could be something else, has to take that extraction and do that lookup in ANAI. If a lookup is required, it might be as simple as, well, okay, there is alignment between what's in ANAI and the CM handle, that the identifiers are the same, and that's what the node actually produces. In the VES event, it says, oh yeah, I've been told my name is Bob. Therefore, in the VES event, I'll say my name is Bob. And Bob happens to be the CM handle identifier.
Yeah. And at some point, and it might happen soon, if this config update if there's a lot of information coming and you need to be very efficient in updating, then they minimize the number of lookups that are needed. That's always better. Otherwise, I can imagine something slowing down because we did
think about that a little bit. In I don't know if it's in the schema, but when we were looking at the schema originally, we have this concept of a CM handle, which is the primary identifier, externally visible identifier for a device defined by a Yang model, but we also had additional identifiers in there. So things like that can help us streamline. So if the ANAI identifier is not exactly the same as the identifier that comes from the device, then you can add additional identifiers, and then they should be possible to use as well. Now, I don't know if that made its way into the implementation yet, Shankar.
Okay. Now, the CM handle, what is the structure? Is it a string or is it some kind of a...
I believe it's a string, but Niamh, maybe you can... I think it's a string.
So then
it's a string.
It's a globally unique string to identify the. Yeah.
Is the NCMP, and in particular CPS, has constraints that the anchor name, which is what the CM handle is in the underlying database, needs to be unique within a data space. So the network CM proxy will only have unique CM handles. So. If two devices, you can't have two devices with the same CM handle.
I agree. So this was useful. Thank you. Thanks. I have one other. I know we're almost to the end of the call, but this is just a broad. I don't know if there's a simple answer, but especially Tony, if I've been sort of looking at a little bit more at the ORAN architectures. And then non-real-time RIC and the SMO and how things work with ONAP. Is there a general notion as to whether the CPS DB is inside the non-real-time RIC or outside the non-real-time RIC, or is it?
I don't do ORAN. I have colleagues who do ORAN, and yeah. I look at them and I smile.
Yeah. No, this is bound to come up, and
yes, it is. John Keeney. John Keeney.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you could probably ask John, because I know we had John at some of these meetings, and they were looking at use of the CPS at some point. But I don't know if they got any further with that. Maybe we were too immature at the time. And I haven't talked to John on this in a while.
Yeah.
But specifically around the non-real-time RIC, John would be the man to talk to. I think he's the PTL for that project, isn't he?
Yes, yes. And I should ask him. I mean, yeah, we have this, there's this call series on Wednesdays on ONAP and ORAN harmonization. And I should ask him. That's where we meet.
And if I was Ben Chung, then I would probably know straight off the bat because he kept his finger on that pulse. But I have a tendency to dip in and dip out. So I don't always keep track of who's specifically using the CPS.
Yeah. It might be deemed that it's not ready yet. Actually, there's a call in five or 7 minutes where I think John comes to those calls, but he might be on vacation this week. I don't know. There is an exercise in saying which parts of ONAP are really minimum package that is needed for an SMO. But I don't know if the discussion has gone that far enough.
CPS is maturing pretty quickly.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure we'll keep coming back to this.
I think it's providing valuable functionality already.
That's awesome. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I guess we can close the meeting.
Thanks, Neve. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Facebook.
Thanks, Michael, for hosting.
Thank you.
No problem.